satisfy you. Welcome to Knotcast, episode 321, Buttocks Akimbo.
I mean, what is a buttocks akimbo?
It'd be more...
Oh, okay.
This is when you're a fox and you're bent over, your buttocks are spread apart.
The more you know. Good to know, Fuzz. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva may be joining us, we're not sure. She's in prep mode for a siesta, which is our little overnight event at the Crown Plaza here in a couple weeks' time.
Yeah, you should all totally come down for it. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, at the rate it's going, it's going to become a small con. It's bigger than some small cons as it is.
Yeah, so it kind of seems like
we got to be careful with that. Oh, God, no, it's happening again. Also, wow, we've got lots of emails this week.
14, yeah. Well, with one is not to be read on the air. We should actually reply to that dude.
All right.
To Wolfie Man. We should reply to him personally.
Very well. So, yes, it has been a week. You have survived Anthrocon. I have not gone to Anthrocon.
Yay?
Yeah. I had a bit of regret that I didn't get to go. Just because the fact that if I had been there, I could have hostily taken over the BronyCon table and been like, my con table now, bitches.
Yeah. Well, they were doing fuck all with it.
So. Yeah. What a fucking waste. Yeah. God. Oh, well.
Primo spot, man. Right between Fur Planet and Hyena Agenda.
Yeah. I mean, those are kind of big draws. I mean, I hear that Fur Planet guy, he's...
Oh, yes.
Got lots of books, and people just really love it.
I do, yes.
Yeah, lots of foot traffic. How many new titles did you have this year?
25.
God.
25.
And you mentioned that transformation...
Altered States.
Yeah,
yes.
Like just sold out day one.
TF Anthology.
People needed to get their hands turning into paws onto that.
Yes, that's exactly.
Pre-order now for Planets.com. Yeah!
Explosions.
Yeah. As for me, I've been fairly mundane. Like, things are okay for me. Nothing exciting, nothing too bad, too great.
It's okay, Saverin. Some people are just normies.
I know. I've been such a normie this last little bit.
What are you doing? I'm furious.
That was a really cute comic.
It is. God, the expressions.
It's like, Mom, Dad, I don't think Robin Hood that's great, and I just don't enjoy anime. It's okay, honey. Some people are just normies.
just the fursuit face is just so cute. I'm furious. Don't. Again, we discussed something on the show that is like entirely visual.
Well, it's a comic that people have been tweeting about. It's
and
it's all over the fucking.
If you're not on Twitter or you're not on our Telegram chat, you're missing out.
Yeah, seriously, because you know Fuzz is wearing this great shirt today. What was it? Judgment O's. It's who did the shirt design?
Free Soul Inside. It's by Kyovi.
And she was selling them at Anthrocon.
Sofwolf was selling them. Basically, Sofwolf did a Kickstarter a few months ago for the special hardcover collection of Anubis Dark Desires, where they colorized all the old issues of Anubis Dark Desires. There's four of them.
Uh-huh.
And added some bonus footage to it. And then when they met certain stretch goals, they added certain things. So they added a pin. They add two different T-shirt designs. They also had a bowling shirt, which nice. I have the bowling shirt as well. It's really cool. And it's also designed by Kyovi, and it says "The Dead Abides."
Nice.
And it's Anubis, like bowling. He's bowling something, and it's like it's hitting like skulls. No, I think he's bowling a skull, and it's hitting the pins.
So, are there canopic jars as the pins?
Yes, that's what it is.
Excellent. Because if they weren't, that would be quite the missed opportunity.
No, she totally. And that image is on the back, and that image is also available as another T-shirt. But okay. this Judgment O's one, Free Soul Inside, is like a cereal box designed with a cartoony Anubis. And
So I have been keeping it furry, though.
Yes.
I've been playing Dust and Elysian Tale.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've had almost since it came out. Like, it went on Steam sale for dirt cheap, like, last year. And like all things in Steam sales, you buy them, I'll play them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I'm streaming on a regular basis, generally, like, 11 to 2 in the morning, because I scheduled to do that.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/Saverin. Like and subscribe. I've been playing through that the last couple nights, and, you know, the game for being basically drawn and animated by one dude is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The combat's fluid, the murdering dudes is great, the story's kind of bleh, and the voice acting's not the best, but you have to consider that this is kind of similar to, like, Stardew Valley in terms of this is one dude's labor of love. I mean, he did get help in getting the game out and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was mainly him doing it all. Dean Dodrill's the guy's name. And he actually tweeted today that he's back to making games and feeling good. And I'm like, yeah, Elysian Tale 2. That would be great.
Electric Boogaloo.
Get more people drawing more fidget porn. Because, of course. So I immediately played it. Go to E621. I was like, how many pages of fidget porn? Fidget's the little. It's called the Nimbat. It's the little flying critter.
Is it that long-tailed-looking critter?
Yeah, long-tailed-looking mongoose bat thing that's called the Nimbat. And there's like 5 pages of it on E621. I'm like, yeah.
I want to learn the secret of the Nimbat.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. Heard there was some, saw some Pokemon were hidden in her pussy. And
Right.
I had to go and check that out.
Yeah, as for the Pokemon side of things, everybody's been annoying everybody else with Pokemon Go. It's been hit and miss in terms of, like, actually working. And I've seen lots of people complaining, and I think a lot of it's because people aren't necessarily used to connecting to games that require servers on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also really sure that the company that put out Pokemon Go was not fucking ready.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to do that limited run in, like, New Zealand or something like that,
yeah,
right?
New Zealand and Australia, and that was their only English-speaking countries that were getting access to it. And so people were like, fuck you, and found workarounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pushed it early. Like, apparently they were going to push the American release back in, like, a couple weeks from now.
Mm.
And that was a bit vexing, because it's a neat idea on its face. And apparently they're like, all right, fine, we're going to put it out there. And their servers have been falling down all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had a chance to work with it, and it's... I mean, for me, it's just a good impetus to get my ass outside and walk around and catch some Pokemon. You know, our street here is... Like, in my apartment complex, I think has 6 spawn points for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And one's right next to my apartment building here, so thanks to GPS inaccuracy, occasionally, if I look at my phone, there will be a Pokemon that I can interact with from inside, and then basically that forces it to spawn inside, like in my office. I'm like, ah! And I've tried to... I actually tweeted out a cute little photo of it. It's like a little Caterpie inside next to my one of my studio lights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh God, it's in the house. And of course, there's the ones where, like, the bird...
The Pokemon is coming from inside the house!
Well, I tweeted from the Nautcast Twitter account the... Pidgey inside your salad at Whataburger.
Whataburger, yeah. Hence the reason why we're discussing my T-shirt, because
that was out there too, and people were wanting to see it. So it's a neat little game, and if you are willing to go get out of your house, there's probably no reason to spend any money on the game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be people that dump a bunch of cash and power level their Pokemon and take over the gyms and whatever, or you can just walk around and catch Pokemon. And go visit the Pokestops, and I'm saying that with quotation fingers, they're the points of interest, and sometimes they're really, really clustered together. Just down the street, there's the Kroger that I get groceries at, and there's like those eight Pokestops in the parking lot, just within like maybe a half mile of each other, all told, and there's a 5-minute cooldown, so if you wanted to, you could literally walk laps in this circle and get stuff every 5 minutes, because it doesn't have a cooldown longer than that, and there's no limitation on how often you can farm a spot in a given day. So if you just want to go take a walk, and there's a place that has Pokestops along the way, you can just do laps and get all the Pokeballs and other shit you'll ever need.
Pokestops!
Yeah. There actually was a fun picture I saw. Someone, there's a poke is a type of fish. It's like a dish in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And there is a restaurant called Poke Stop, which is a Poke Stop in the game.
Nice.
So
yeah, better be.
So Pokemon. It's cool. I mean, it's not much of a game, but if it gets fat nerds to go outside and get some exercise, I think it's a good thing. Though there is that hilarious warning. When you launch it up, it's like, please pay attention to what you're doing. And it's like, it's a trainer walking, looking at his phone while a Gyarados is about to eat his fucking head. Which is, a Gyarados is a giant Caesar Pokemon, if you don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just going to have a heart attack chasing after an unmoving Snorlax.
Yep, that Snorlax is blocking the way.
Yeah, I should note, I'm not actually playing Pokemon Go, but I find some of the retweets amusing, so I've been, the tweets amusing, so I've been retweeting them.
Yeah, well, there's the one where, like, somebody found a Haunter inside a fucking restaurant. And Tesser is now tweeting at me saying that he was having trouble catching a particular fucking Pokemon, and he's like, and you're able to have them spawn in your house? Bitch.
Nice.
It's like, I can catch Pokemon in my house.
So on the furry side of things, I went to the Anthrocon.
Yes, tell us about your Anthrocon.
So I flew out there Thursday night because I was trying to save some PTO time. So I flew out while Buck drove my car, and then Monday I drove home and he flew home. So I got out of there, and first of all, I'd forgotten the hour time difference. So instead of landing at 10:53, I landed at 11:53, and then my flight was delayed over an hour. And then Sparf picked me up from the airport, but because the Pittsburgh Tunnel, you know, the big one that you go right into in the city, was closed Thursday and Friday evening for repairs. Repairs in the evening. They were doing some work on it, so we had to go this long-ass roundabout way to get to the hotel in the convention area. So, long story short, it is 2:30 in the morning by the time I actually get to my hotel. And I'm just like...
That's kind of a nightmare.
And I'm just like, fuck. So that was kind of annoying. Anyway, most of my con, of course, spent behind the table. Working on selling. I believe we haven't got the final numbers yet, but looking at the preliminaries, I believe this was our most successful convention to date. Not just Anthrocon, but of any of the cons that we've been dealers at.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. Could be in part due to like the 25 new releases. Because that was a lot of books to put out all at once. So things went well. I got to hang out with the Soulwolf guys on Friday night. There's a bunch of people there. I did the Shit Writers Say recording on Sunday night.
The Shit Writers panel. Wait, no.
It's actually not even an official panel. It's just Ocean from the Fangs and Fonts podcast gets a bunch of writers and related types together at a con and basically records a conversation. And
that works.
That eventually gets released onto the Fangs and Fonts podcast stream, which if you're interested in writing in the furry community, you should be listening to Fangs and Fonts anyway.
Yeah,
plug, they are fangsandfonts.com. And yeah, you'll hear me on a couple of them. I think I'm interviewed on one of them from when Roland drove down here to Texas at one point with Tal. God, like the con just sort of flew by. I mean, as it usually does. But Zia, Ajax, Buck were all there helping us, and then Tieran and myself, of course. My feet and ankles like still hurt on Wednesday. You know, just driving in the car and like. Yeah. they're really not happy with me right now. I think I need a foot bath or something like that. But What else? I got Foxes and Peppers' new CD. Hashtag. I missed the actual show, of course, because dealing. I didn't bother getting any sketches or anything. Yeah, and I got my Soap Wolf shirts. And that's about it. I mean, I always have a kind of a low-key time at AC these days, you know. I did enjoy hanging out a couple of nights. Saturday night, I crashed out early. I went to bed at like 8, and I woke and I slept till like I was late getting to the table the next day. Cause yeah,
but you were just partying too hard, man.
No, I kept really burned out that first day, but you know, we didn't run out of any change. We sold out of several titles. All the stock got there in one piece, so that was good. Actually, no, that's not true. Some stock got dinged, and I need to actually contact my printer about it, because clearly there was a couple of boxes that somebody just decided to, like, throw into a wall or something.
They're just
like,
you know what? Fuck this box in particular.
Yeah. And it's like you open up and like, wow, the corners of every one of these books are crumpled.
And that's shit. Not good.
Apparently it did not affect our sales, so at least that's something. And boy, I am like the most boringest furry. That's basically my con.
you go to the con to vend. You're there for business. You're not there to get laid or fuck the brains out of, you know, boxy femboys.
Well, I mean, I could do that. You know.
You could, but you're too tired at the end of the day. You're like, I've been selling porn to people. I'm too tired.
I wasn't in a hunting mood this con.
Gotta catch them all.
Wolf was full. I gorged myself on fox ass at the last con.
Yikes. All right.
You could take that so many ways.
Yeah, really. So I guess we should probably, like, get right to the emails because we have 2 weeks' worth.
Let's go live to the videotape.
Yes, that works. So,
do you want to start with the Anthrocon report since I was just talking about it, or do you want to scroll way back in time to June 24th?
Let's just go back to this one. This one's from Jeeves, and it's pretty funny.
All right.
This is EUCon report. Dear Notcasters, so I just got back from EUCon, the furry con where most of the countries in Europe get together to exchange culture, finance, and generally have a good time together. It was a bittersweet convention this year because it was one of the last times that UK was going to be present. Apparently they don't like the venue anymore or something, so England said they're done. So Scotland and Northern Ireland really wanted to keep attending, but England was much bigger than they are, so I dragged them away without listening to what they had to say. We'll see. The Whiskey Nations might be back sooner than you think. Apparently England is starting up its own con with blowjobs and hookers and blackjack and bigotry, and their theme for the coming year is short-sightedness. I look forward to England realizing that it's not easy to be an independent convention when your idea of being some amazing poppy fair restrained by EUCon's rules turns out to be bullshit, and you've just burned the bridges with more than half your Dealer's Den participants and attendees. Oh, and apparently England wants to ban non-UK-made fursuits too, while still wanting to maintain trade agreements with all the foreign fursuit makers. We'll see how that goes. I can almost hear the convention bank balance melting away into nothing. But don't worry, they'll get lots of new interest and investment when they announce next year's Guest of Honor, because empty future promises are apparently more than enough to convince England that they're on the right track. Well, that's about all I've got for the whole Brexit as a furry con bit. But yeah, doesn't this royally blow? I'm going to stay as optimistic as I can, because that's kind of what I do when shit hits the fan. I'm going to take every opportunity to laugh at the people who thought that leaving the EU would solve all their problems, waking up day after day, realize they're still miserable and they shouldn't have tried to use Europe as a scapegoat. As a scapegoat. I mangled that word.
Bah.
Nah. And, of course, I'm going to do my personal best to make sure that people know there are still millions upon millions of good, caring, community-minded people in the UK. We're not all the bigots who think that stopping EU immigration will miraculously make our country the wealthiest nation on Earth. It's going to be very important to remember that. Basically, Notcasters, don't worry about the UK. Those of us who didn't want this will muddle through. Those who did will implode under the weight of their own misconceptions. And overall, it's important to remember that this whole thing is a giant first-world problem scenario. There are still countries out there with disease and poverty and famine way more deserving of people's time and attention than the UK and its misguided bullshittery.
Yeah, like America.
Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Bunny from Scotland.
Yes.
Yeah, America.
From the independent kingdom of Scotland.
Yeah. Their national motto, ugh. So, yeah, that was right after Brexit, and that's been, like, 2 weeks since then.
And so I heard the term on Bill Maher's show, which he did not take credit for. Apparently it came out on Twitter, but regrexit.
Regrexit.
Yeah. Because people were already having regrets, like, I voted for it, but I didn't know it would actually happen.
Also, Tesser just tweeted me a picture. It's like, well, one comes into your podcast stream. Mine just sits in my shower and watches me. Sent me a picture of a Doduo Pokemon in his shower.
Like, I saw a picture on Twitter just now where it was like, leave me alone. I'm just trying to go to the bathroom, you little shit.
Yeah. Well, like, there's one where it's a Diglett on top of the toilet seat. And I was brushing my teeth last night, and thanks to GPS, the GPS weirdness and whatever, I was able to get it to spawn in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So it was, like, in my closet watching me. Like, yeah. The whole point is, like, people will get bored of the silliness soon enough.
I just want a shower in peace, you little bastard.
Nice. So, yeah. Pokemans. And, hey, there's another email from Jeeves. There you go, Fuzz. You can read it.
Ugh. Okay. Kinky female stories. Hi, Notcasters. Sorry. I don't know what happened to me there. It's just like... Sorry for the doubling of emails this week, but I'm listening to your latest episode, and you just asked me about kinky female-centric stories I've written. Let's make up for that lack of a wall of text last week with some serious self-promotion. You can read this on air, or just send the list to the person who asked for some recommendations. For more adult stuff, I'd recommended a couple short story series I wrote a while back. The first, Solitary Romance, is about a woman's relationship with masturbation. Oh, he sounds like a lovely fellow. And how she confers personalities onto each of her toys to intensify the fantasies she shares in. Another older one, Ecstasy Through Exploration, features a woman undergoing some voluntary medical testing to study the different reactions her body has to varying sexual stimulation. Clitoral, vaginal, anal, etc. Navel. I would also take this opportunity to plug two of the most well-received story series I've written. Both feature a male-female relationship, but with a fairly equal split on the amount of content from each character's point of view. Love is a 20-something part series exploring all the things that make up a happy, healthy relationship. From silly romantic pieces about cooking breakfast or cuddling up to your partner after a tough day at work, to adult pieces involving the more sexual element of an adult relationship. He's talking about dickings. Decades, while it does have sexual content, is not really an adult or kinky series, but I recommend it anyway. It features the journey of a couple through their lives together one decade at a time. From the first time they ever crossed paths as young children to the teenage fledgling of their romantic relationship to the very end of their lives. To this day, it remains probably my favorite thing I've ever written. And finally, there's Gone. My first attempt at a novel-length project, telling a story about what happens after 50% of the world's population vanishes in a single instant. It's not sexual at all, nor is it a perfect story, but it features a lesbian couple as its primary protagonists, and I'm really pleased with the characteristics. All these stories and more can be found on my FA page, which, as Fuzz said last week, is still Jeeves the Roo. I actually have a folder in my FA gallery with all my female-focused works, solo women, lesbian relationships, basically anything with solely female main characters, so that's an easy way to search. And I always make it an effort to tag well. So searching Jeeves the Roo and any kinks you're interested in on the main site search bar will usually bring up something. Hope that there's something in there that will appeal to the owner of last week's email. Thanks for the plug. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland.
Yay! All right. So let's see. This one's funny. Anonymous asked a question. Animal dicks. We keep seeing more art where the dick type doesn't fit on the species, and my mate and I think that's super hot. Do you think it's cool to see cat furries with knots, or dogs with horse dicks, or dragon dicks, and all those ridges and a knot in something like a skunk tar? Or do you prefer human dicks on furries? The only time that's sort of true for us is when we see raccoons or something. Their penis bone dick looks weird, so for us, human or another kind looks better on them. It really depends on the art.
Kind of does.
I think the one thing that really is a mega turnoff is when, like, they have human dicks, but they're uncut human dicks, so they have weird furry sheaths. But they're not, like, yeah, it's like this weird, like, okay, well, they have the foreskin, but the foreskin's covered in fur, and it just looks weird.
Huh.
So,
like a furry sandworm.
Yeah. Spice must flow. I mean, you can see that in some of Jay Naylor's stuff, because he draws like his most of his stories with normal, with like human dicks. His horses always have horse dicks, but there's this one where it's like,
well, because there's no cock like horse cock.
Exactly. And so it's like, yeah, that's this weird sandworm dick on a furry. At least in his, he doesn't draw it like with fur on the foreskin and the skin of the penis, but it still looks kind of weird relative to the art. I don't know. I mean, uncut dicks are fine, just it depends on how they're drawn in the furry context.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like the artist and even down to the individual piece, that sometimes that particular part will look better one way or another.
Yeah, or...
I don't have a firm preference either way, where I'm like, always human dicks, always animal dicks, or anything like that. Because, I mean, yeah, horrifyingly realistic dog cock red. Sometimes they look... If they're, like, a little too close to the real thing, like, real dog cocks are not attractive.
Well, and then you have, like, oh, how close to it is, like, the species, and then you have, you know, this guy mentions little weird raccoon penis bones, and you have, like, things... Like, animals that have weird dicks, like pigs have their...
And ducks.
And
holy cats, shit, ducks.
And cats have super tiny wings.
Right, and yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a big buff tiger, big old balls, teeny tiny dick.
Yeah. So, like, it doesn't really work for anthros.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things that it is entirely dependent on the artist in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because if you take an artist, like...
I'm not into what they're describing, where they're like, okay, so I think it's kind of silly when animals have a different animal type of penis. Yeah,
horses with dog dicks, or dragon dicks with ridges and weird
knots. It's usually the other way around. It's dogs with horse dicks.
Yeah.
Put a horse dick on fucking everything, you know, regardless of gender, species, or size.
I actually saw...
like a mouse with a horse dick. Like, it can't even move. Has to be fed through a tube.
Well, I saw a piece that was, like... It was non-anthro horses. It was actually, like, Warcraft Warhorse was getting fucked by another character as, a centaur or something. But the centaur had a... bolt had a knot on its dick as well, and it was just like, wait,
yeah,
what the fuck, this is weird. I mean, they actually, there's a Bad Dragon toy that has, like, it's a horse cock with a knot at the base.
It's like the dragon dicks with the ridges and shit, that kind of makes sense to me, because it's like, okay, it's an entirely fantasy creature, you could put whatever the fuck you want on it, really, within reason, I guess. But when it's like, it's a horse, it also has a knot because his dad was a fox, and that hybrids totally fucking work like that in the furry universe.
Just like that pic with Judy and Nick and a bunny or a box. No.
Yeah.
There is this really cute pic where they've adopted
a
swift fox.
Yeah.
Which they're grayish foxes with orange highlights, and they have larger ears than normal.
Yeah.
And, like, the people are like, bunnies? Boxes? What? Just adopted.
So, yeah, I'm kind of boring with that. I'm like, I like my canines with knots and my cats with barbs, and or...
See, I don't...
100% human, or a mix of the two where you have, like, the human head with the not bulge at the base.
What I don't like is when they draw, like, I mean, first of all, feline dicks are pretty scary. Like,
they're not actually spikes like what they drove through Jesus' arms to crucify. No, they're
little bits of keratin that scrape the interior. Like, the methods of, like, what triggers ovulation in cats is the barbs. And the reason they're yowling is it's not fun or pleasant. And I see people draw these dicks that look like they're fucking serrated. And, like, you get just, like,
they look like that fucking thing in Seven.
Yeah, it's like a fucking cactus.
Get this off of me!
Yeah. But that's enough of a dick discourse, I think.
Dick course dicks. Sandpaper dicks.
Oh, someone's asking a question about our Adam and Eve code.
We can't help you with that.
So
contact Adam and Eve.
Well, actually, the thing is, the anonymous has the question, hey guys, think about using your coupon code for Adam and Eve. When I enter it, I can't seem to find the gifts I'm supposed to be getting. I've made sure to add the minimum price to qualify, but I can't seem to find the gifts when I search for them. What can you help?
You don't actually search for the gifts or...
Yeah, I think the extra bonus stuff is just added to your order. You don't... because they changed our code, like, last year, and they made it so it wasn't 50% off one item and free shipping. It was, like, you get a bunch of extra bullshit with it, like, a three-pack DVD and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just added onto the order.
Yeah. Like, cowgirl rides the horse cock.
Except it's all boring straight porn, probably. Because Adam and Eve is pretty normy when it comes to that. they should basically be added to your thing if it accepts the code. Though, fun fact, last podcast on the left, they picked up Adam and Eve as a sponsor, and they were talking like, use your coupon code left and you'll get your 50% off on it. And I'm like, you fuckers, you've got the good code. You've got the good deal. God damn it.
They're bigger than we are, I guess.
They are. And their Patreon is doing really well.
Yeah.
But Cave Comedy Radio is like a fucking full-time thing for that entire group.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways, basically, the Adam and Eve code still works. You can use KNOT at adamandeve.com, and you get, like, the free item, the free gifty things, but they're just added onto your order, as long as it accepts the code. I still get reports that people are still occasionally using the code, so it still works. Yep. Last I checked.
KNOT!
All right, you get the next Tumblr one, Fuzz.
Hey, guys. Oh, go buy ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and KTW, Kill the Wolves?
Yes.
That's not cool. Here, but I wanted to ask a good question and maybe hear you discuss this. Do you think this is a good analogy? Furry is to anime, as yif is to hentai. This analogy means there are two fandoms that celebrate two interests and works, yet there is a sexual content because life, which is true. Thank you all for reading my question.
Well, yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah.
I mean,
I'd say there's a lot more porn in furry, but yeah, you're not wrong.
Don't fall into the stereotypes, Aaron.
Well, no,
we're a clean community. PG rated. At most.
Yes.
Hot dickings, PG rated.
Not allowed. Well, it's basically what is allowed at cons. I mean, if you go...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, if you go to, say, a con, they have the porn. They have all the stuff, but it's, you know, behind the scenes. And actually, they don't allow... I don't think they really allow adult stuff in, like, the artist alley.
Mm-hmm. It's under a sneeze guard, so that if you, like, spontaneously ejaculate...
Or you start, like, blood shooting from your nose like in an anime.
It bounces back into your face and goes into your eyes, and you're like... Aah!
So, I mean, furry is definitely more open with the porn and stuff, but then again, if you go to Akon, there's still, like, doujinshi sellers that have, you know, porn comics and all that fun stuff, and body pillows and all that. And it's just... It's a smaller portion.
The body pillow of the milady guy.
Yeah, it's a smaller portion.
Oh, that was a cool thing that Anthrocon had this year, was the Friends of Anthrocon, where all seven hotels that are the official Anthrocon hotels all had, the hotels had their own fursonas.
Yeah.
And they all had names that were like a pun on the hotel name. So like Westy was the Westons, Champ was the Hamptons. Dub was the Doubletree. And because I was at the Courtyard Marriott, ours was an otter named Mary Ott. Yes. And she was really cute. She was a gamer girl. She had like a PSP, not a PSP, like a Nintendo something.
She had a game console in her hand.
She had a portable
Triforce shirt.
And a Triforce shirt. And I was like, man, I don't have a fedora, so I can't accuse her of being a fake gamer girl.
Oh, fuzz.
But I bought the T-shirt because it goes to some charity. I don't know what charity it was. It was a charity that our hotel was doing that the others weren't. But they're really cute. What if subject lines didn't... Oh, Savern might want to read this before the show. Did you do your research, Savern?
No, but you can go ahead and read the...
Okay. All right. Hey, guys! Wanted to let you know that you are great. I love listening to you guys. Said creepily Pat Savern. I was listening to your criticisms about Nintendo's translations, and it inspired me to write an article that represents why Nintendo localizes and not just literally translate. Here is a link if you want to read. I want to hear Savern's opinion, or anyone else if they are interested, after reading the article, if he wants to read it. You don't have to share it, it's just a small site that I use to practice my writing skills. On to an actual furry question. I see many people sell characters on Fur Affinity and DeviantArt, and I never quite understood why. Why would you buy a character? Can't you just draw it yourself or commission art of the character? It's just a fictional character, so I don't really understand why it happens and would be happy hearing your thoughts. I'm probably missing something really dumb. From Ninio the Fox. So I think selling characters is a pretty dumb concept. I'm like, I mean, how creatively lacking do you have to be to not be able to come up with your own character, or at least some kind of placeholder character, you know? I would not draw the character or commission a character yourself that you had seen in one of those by the character, though, because that artist still came up with that character concept. And that would be pretty shitty to just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna commission it myself. But you really should just make your own character, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's one of those things like, you can if you want, but why would you?
It seems like a silly thing. But I mean, there's people like, oh, these are my characters that I roleplay. I'm like, it seems boring. Like,
yeah,
come up with your own thing. And then, I mean, of course, like, if you have a character and then someone's like, oh, that's my character, and I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Mm-hmm. Go away. And I did just read through the article that you wrote. Mm-hmm. And, like, I both agree and disagree. So, like, in the instance that he uses, the Nintendo of America uses, and this is an image from the most recent Zelda game, Triforce Heroes, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Nintendo of America, it's like, still, coming here has at least afforded me the rare chance to explore these ancient ruins. So ancient, such ruin. The variation on the Doge meme.
All right, yeah.
And Nintendo Europe. And that may be precisely why the ancient ruins I encountered had been left undisturbed for me to explore. That's the European translation. And I'm going to say that putting memes in your game is bad. Mainly because memes, as their internet popularity wanes, become less known. And there is going to be people that chuckle at that. But then you have, like, I think we discussed the whole, like, Paper Mario thing with Shufflegate, you know, and mm-hmm. people, you know, the author intending, oh, I'm making a mimetic reference to Watergate, but then people taking it the wrong way, misinterpreting it, and basically flipping their shit. When
don't really believe it was a reference to Watergate, do you?
I think that they're being stupid. And actually, the people did say it was a reference to Watergate.
Yeah, but that's retarded.
But this is the same group that's also making these stupid inclusions in the game, adding dumb memes and changing support dialogue in Fire Emblem Fates and basically making changes.
I think they were making a reference to some internet drama and they were hoping nobody would say anything. And they did. You don't reference a fucking 40-year-old
But that's the problem, is that they're making stupid references that don't enhance. Like, certain things can enhance it, like, you know, adding mm-hmm. slight character quirks. And, like, games like the Ace Attorney series, the character names are all puns in Japanese, so they had to be changed.
Right.
Phoenix Wright's name is Naruhodo, which is basically I know.
Uh-huh.
The Naruhodo is a word, and that's like is
one of theirs translates to I object, because that.
And then there's like the detective's name is like Detective, and it's like okay. their character names are all puns. So right. They had to localize it and give them actual names because their punny ass names made no sense.
Right.
That's useful. Name changes kind of have to happen sometimes. That's like why M. Bison and Vega and just Dictator were all changed around in Street Fighter 2 because M. Bison was the name of the boxer guy and it was a pun on Mike Tyson. And they were like, yeah, M. Bison was the original name of the boxer in Street Fighter 2. And then all the shit with Mike Tyson happened, and they're like, you know, we're going to swap the names around a little bit here. That was around the same time that Mike Tyson went to jail for the first time, and he
bit off Holyfield's ear.
Punch Out got changed from Mike Tyson's Punch Out to something else. So that was
just Punch Out.
Yeah, so in Japan, Vega was the name of, like, they swapped three characters' names around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Vega, M. Bison, and Balrog. Basically, all their names got swapped around because to cover their asses. And they're like, we're not going to name this character for Mike Tyson because a black boxer named after Mike Tyson, he's kind of not the best.
But I remember the character being M. Bison. I didn't realize it actually changed it.
Yeah, well, M. Bison is the big red-coated psycho power wielding final boss. Yeah,
I played Street Fighter 2 back in the
M. Bison is the name of the boxer, you know. And that's the thing. It's like localization for reasons like that makes sense, but stupid. I think the inclusions of memes and, like, you know, the Shufflegate thing, that is only asking for trouble and also dating your product. Like,
you never want to date your product. It's just gross. It's like fucking your brother.
Yeah, and it's, remember, incest is only cool if it's someone else's family, right?
That's right.
And so, yeah, like Borderlands and Borderlands 2, those games have references that were funny and timely back then, but now if you replay the game, it's like, what are they even talking about in some cases? Just because the nature of writing, the nature of the internet culture, like, they make a reference that's, you know, that'd be like throwing in an All Your Base reference. It's funny to people that are like, oh, I remember that as being a thing on the proto-internet, but then, like, if you say that to, and put that in a modern game that comes out today, the odds of people getting the reference and going, huh, that's funny, is actually probably pretty small.
So I skimmed the article very briefly there while you were talking, and, like, one of the things he pointed out was, is Citizen Kane not a good movie because it makes references to films in the early 1900s? And to that I'll say, I've seen Citizen Kane a couple of times, and I don't remember anything in it that just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But if you play that game in that Doge reference in, like, 30 years or 50 years,
like, such ruin, much, like,
you're just going to be like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, it's like, you did, know, they have, like, a,
like, I guess if there are references to older films in Citizen Kane, he worked it in such a way that the dialogue could still stand by itself without interfering with the movie or taking you out of the narrative.
Yeah.
But putting a Doge reference into a video game and then 50 years from now, you're going to be taken out of that narrative because you're going to be like, the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. You know, and it's basically, it's like, translation is useful, inserting memes and jokes that are very time-locked.
But yeah, you do localize translation. I mean,
well, yeah, you have to.
You have to, and you covered a couple of reasons for that. In particular, I mean, I know a guy that translated a novel, and it's like, yeah, certain things just don't translate one for one, and you have to reword things so that they make sense in English.
And that's, making sense in English is important. Sticking in memes is not.
Right.
So.
Okay, so you read this one. I read the last one.
Let's see. I have a question for all the hosts. Do you ever feel like your social dance card is full? Like, you have enough responsibilities, enough friends, enough things to fill your time that when a new person comes along and really seems to be making an effort to make themselves a friend to you, you feel like they're seeking your time and attention as a burden, no matter how nice a person they might be. How do you politely and maturely deal with a situation like this?
God, I could totally relate to that. And this is, we've covered this on the show before. It's also partially an age thing.
Yeah.
That they've done studies that once you're over 30, you pretty much stop wanting to form relationships with new people, and you want to deepen the relationships with your existing friends.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of hits a limit. I think I read somewhere the limit was 40. There's like, you can have a relationship of some depth, friendship at minimum, with about 40 people. And that's about as far as the average human can really stretch themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hit that amount.
Even if you're a fox.
You hit that amount around that age, and then yeah, you don't, your social dance card is full, and you're kind of not really looking to make new friends. And for me, I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm very busy. I've got the day job, I've got ProPlanet, I got the podcast, and I already have people that I want to spend time with. I'm not looking to add new people to that list. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to like meet a new person and they'll be kind of cool and they'll kind of, you know, especially with publishing, I'm going to meet some writers that maybe their work just totally blows me away and I get to know them over the course of working with them. And I'm sure, you know, we'll have some good conversations about writing and stuff like the Fangs and Fonts guys. And the Unfurled guys, I think I met them 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. Maybe not that long. I don't remember exactly. But, you know, I enjoy hanging out with them and talking to them on Twitter and stuff like that. So they're relatively recent people that I'd consider friends. But that just sort of happened naturally. You can't really force that, you know. And I've had a couple people kind of force it,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of like constantly trying to interact with you. And it's like, we have to have some sort of, I don't know, basis to start from. You know, there has to be, like, a reason I'm talking to you.
Yeah, and, like, for me, like, you mentioned 40, and I'm, like, maybe 24 at the most on my end. And, like, I have some good friends. I have some very close friends. But then after a certain point, I'm just, oh, yeah. like...
That was not the very close friends.
No, I'm just saying, like, total, right? Like, there are people that I hang out with a regular basis, and I could probably count that number on my, like, on one hand that I do social shit with.
Right.
Like, go to lunch with and hang out with and go do random shit with. And then I have the people that, like,
mm-hmm.
I work on projects with, you know, like, my con staff. I'm close and friends with those guys, but it's not a super close friendship. We're not, like, talking deep shit. We're hanging out, drinking, talking hot shit, gossiping, playing video games. It's not like... That's friend stuff, not like close friend, hey, we're going to have lunch and talk about shit and, you know, mm-hmm. go to a park and hike and do, you know, close friend stuff. Like
fuck in the woods.
No, don't do that with anybody.
it's till you get these terrible bark burns on your back.
Oh, man, and, you know, getting bark in the knees, ugh.
Ooh, that just, that, yeah.
Man, that's no fun.
You want to throw a tarp down or something. Yeah,
bring a cushion or a towel. but anyways... So yeah,
throw down a tarp and a bunch of lube and fucking slip and slide, man. Whee!
Yeah.
Then you do some naked wrestling. Appendage should slip into some orifice, then oh no, that just kind of happened.
It's not gay if it's prey. So yeah, I mean, I totally understand that point. And Fuzz, what Fuzz says, me being a function of age, I totally understand. I mean, we're all over 30 here.
Back in my day.
But I also understand the struggle of trying to make more, I guess, superficial connections, making the tenuous, like, hey, we have something in common. Let's try to make some professional contact. Let's mm-hmm. work together on a project. Let's, you know, hey, we're both doing this YouTube shit. Let's work together. Oh, mm-hmm. you guys stream, I stream. Let's get a team together, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm interacting with people like a decade younger than me, and it's really hard.
I'm just imagining you coming off really cute, like, you stream, I stream, let me stream my piss into your face, and then being like, well, that escalated quickly.
That's a rule violation, Fuzz. but yeah, you know, you have that I have enough people, but then you also, like, if I want to do thing better, I need to talk to people who also do thing and yes. network. And
yeah.
that is hard. It is. Fuck. I'm trying. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally normal. Okay. Which one was read that one?
I read that one. This one's short.
Okay. This is a Tumblr ask. Just wanted to say I'm glad I found this podcast. It helps me get through work. Also, the last podcast on the left has been great. Thanks for mentioning it as well. You're welcome.
Yay! You mentioned that at Anthrocon there was a guy that actually was wearing a Last Podcast on the Left shirt.
Yeah. So this dude comes up to the table and I'm like, oh, awesome shirt. I just started listening to that show. And he started talking about it. Have you heard this one? And I'm like, nope.
Not yet.
Nope.
I'm working on it.
Because I literally listened to maybe 6 or 8 episodes at this point. But like, so it was easier for me to name the ones that I had listened to. But yeah, we talked about how fun it was, and you know, I said I'd learned about it from you, and
and I learned about it from DefMech, and so I mean, just the virus is being
incestuous podcast relations. Yeah.
Well, the episode we were listening to, we first listened to it on the way back from PAX South this last year, and we listened to the episode about the moon is a hologram and the Hollow Earth episodes.
Oh my god!
And they were just like, this is fucking awesome. Also, I have to recommend episode 229, titled "Henry Yells at Dave Willis About Aliens." It's a 39-minute short episode.
Okay.
And it's basically Henry Zebrowski talking to Dave Willis from creator of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Squidbillies, and of course, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, basically the show that he's in Atlanta working on.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, and just basically talking about, and in this case, it's mainly Henry just going on rants, being his random-ass self.
Uh-huh.
For 40 minutes. It's great.
Oh my god. I just listened to the JonBenet Ramsey two-parter.
Oh, fuck.
And I mean, it starts with Henry doing like, oh, I'm JonBenet and I'm in heaven. And what's it like up there, JonBenet? And it's just sort of like, ooh, that's a little. Oh,
yeah. You had to have some thick skin for that. Though, I'm down to. I've listened all the way back to episode 127.
Mm.
So that's my next one, which is on werewolves.
Ooh.
And then I have episode 231, Chaos Magic Part 2, to listen to as well. Yeah. So Last Podcast on the Left is great entertainment. I love to listen to that while I'm driving. I have learned all sorts of things. And just wait till you get to the Waco episode, realize just how fucked up that was. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Like, oh my god. I had, like, totally bought the narrative that was the official narrative.
Yeah,
there was this crazy motherfucker, and they had all these guns, and, you know, yeah.
They had drugs and all sorts of shit.
And they stormed in that shit, and then, like, you hear their take on it, and you're like, wow. Whoa. There was a lot. Now, Waco happened when
I was 96?
I think
94. It was
94, so I was 18. I'd graduated high school the year before, and I was not living in Texas yet.
Yeah.
And not really paying attention to mainstream media that much, but I just kind of heard bits and pieces here and there. So I wasn't really paying attention at the time, you know? And then years later, I hear this, and I'm like, whoa, that dude got fucked.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I changed my mind on it.
Definitely. Well, it was like listening to the Charles Manson episodes where you're like, wow, he got really fucked. Like, he was fucked over by life. That doesn't make him any less than a crazy fucking evil man. But, like, he had plenty of kind of, well, I'd say reason to be a crazy fucking evil man.
Oh, my God. The part where he's in jail being interviewed by somebody, and he gets up and he puts his, like, handcuffed hands around this woman's neck. It's like, what if I kill this bitch right now? Just kidding. And I'm just like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
No wonder fucker's never getting out of jail.
Never, ever.
I think he'll be like 120 the next time he's eligible for parole or something like that. So
you learn a lot about a lot of very interesting people in that show. Mm-hmm. I recommend it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Very, very much if you're into the darkness of the human condition.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next email. Okay. Let's
see. You get this one.
Okay. I'm just like giving a brief okie doke. Okay. Thanks for all the fish. Hello, Notcasters. I would come up with a witty introduction, but considering that we've only been seeing each other for a little over a month, I'm not sure our relationship has developed enough to allow for such things. I'm writing in with an email that will be off topic unless we're having a milestone show with the topic of look how awesome we are. However, in the month that I have been a listener, I found myself in your debt for more than just laughs, advice, and generally getting me through my day. Because of this, I just wanted to write in to say thank you, and should we ever meet, I owe you all a drink. Since this will be off topic for anything but an off topic week and will look huge in any case, I will understand if it's not read on air. We're too bad I'm reading it now. Mm-hmm. As I said, I found your podcast about a month ago, shortly after I finally joined Twitter. I'm not sure how I found about you, but Twitter bots recommended it because of my obvious furfaggotry or retweets and mentions from Pepper Cody seemed the most likely sources. I listened to your Fursonas and Furries documentary reviews, decided I liked what I heard, and proceeded to hit up the iTunes for a show catalog to listen to during my writing time. Small tangent, the iTunes episode list only went back to episode 128 from February of 2011. This was an interesting coincidence that happened to be a momentous time for me personally. I was coming out as a gay male and becoming active as a furry. This wasn't the last time that I would have odd intersections with Notcast. I've been working through the backlog while also listening to the newly released episodes, creating a weird time vortex for myself where, it is simultaneously 2011, 2012 now, and 2016, all without the benefit of a TARDIS. In the month that I have been a listener, I have completed 4 stories under the influence of Notcast, which is a hell of a drug, which is an amazing rate of production for me. If only for that, I would owe you beverages. But one of those stories would never have been written if it weren't for Notcast as it contained diaper furs, a subject I've been kicking around but was worried to actually tackle due to imagined negative comments.
Oh, don't worry. Oh, furries have been kicking around diaper furs for years.
Just don't get it on your shoes. But after hearing the 2011 Notcast crew scolding an emailer for shaming that particular kink, I summoned up my courage and went for it. Secure in the knowledge that a set of random furries with recording equipment had my back, I wrote the story and posted it to, well, surprising success. So congratulations, ? On causing some very niche porn to come to be. We're helping? I continue to enjoy the show, and you are always entertaining and thought-provoking. I don't always agree with all your advice, but usually a gentle reminder that said advice is generally aimed at much younger audience than me and will get my perspective straight. For reference, I am a month younger than Savrin. Still, I do listen to it since it's such a late comer to my sexuality, I sometimes find myself facing similar situations.
Oh, Savrin remembers when he was that age.
Yeah. A month ago, I was still 32. Then the next 3 paragraphs of this email detail the individual service the host to me personally above and beyond entertainment, being informative and general awesomeness. They can be skipped in the interest of time, or if the reader is getting especially tongue-tied. Well, she was not here this week. Savrin, I owe a drink for introducing me to his Let's Plays. I have very much come to like his calm and mellow style, as it is a welcome change of pace from the usual high-energy, high-volume styles of Let's Plays I watch.
Because Savrin's not all like,
Yes. This is especially good for me, as I'm not a high-energy person myself, and watching those too much can be exhausting. I continue to hold myself to be in beverage debt to Savrin for this entertainment, despite him giving me a heart attack on a recent Overwatch stream by saying my name. I had forgotten that he could see new followers and had snapped the stream while writing, so I wasn't paying too close attention. I got really embarrassed and put my head in my arms for a few minutes. Aren't social anxiety and self-esteem issues grand? I also owe him for finally forcing my brain to spell Finnick correctly and for proving that bronies aren't a scary, all-consuming horde that I thought they were. Thank you, Savrin.
Savrin hasn't been a scary, all-consuming horde since he lost all that weight.
I know, right? Fuzzwolf is particularly on my mind as I write this. It's June 30th. Yesterday, I was worried he was going to cause my phone to explode when he retweeted a gif that my boyfriend had made of Nick Wilde answering the question, what kind of writer are you? I think I'm only slightly exaggerating when I say that my phone was giving me notifications for 2 minutes straight at one point. What I think I owe the drink for is this. After 12 years of struggling with learning disabilities and having to pay my own way, I finally graduated from college this year.
Oh, cool. Well,
congratulations. With school out of the way, I had resolved that this would be the year I started to earn a little income from my writing. Since I had demonstrated a wonderful talent for checking the furry press right after they closed for submissions, this happened 3 times, I decided to self-publish the first 10 stories that I had posted online, a collection that told a fictionalized version of my coming-out experience. I picked this series for self-publication based only on it being done, and I figured it'd be easy to throw 5 years of additional writing experience at editing it and publishing it. Well, it wasn't too long before the "you're not good enough" demons come out to play. I was losing that fight when Fuzz retweeted the call for submissions to Roar 8. I studied the guidelines for a while and went, with a story idea, I can do this. The next day, I had one, and it was off and running. That idea became the 4th story I wrote under the influence of Notcast. The "you're not good enough" demons haven't gone away, but I fought them back and have actually completed a rough draft. Now comes the hard part, interacting with other people to edit it. So thank you, Fuzz, for pulling me out of my hole.
So on that note, the you're not good enough demons never really go away, especially for creative types. And there's that, oh, God, what's it called? Imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Like artists and writers and creative types get that a lot. Even me, I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to figure out I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Or the I'm actually shit, but nobody's told me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I had that moment the other day while actually streaming Overwatch where I had I went to my stream because I was, for whatever reason, and it looked utterly shit. Like, it was choppy and crappy, and it freaked me the fuck out. Because I looked at this and, like, oh, my God, is my stream, like, literally looking this, like, garbage? Oh, my God. No wonder I have nobody watching. Oh, my God, I'm awful, and nobody has told me. Mm. And, no, my stream is not dropping frames. I still get 30 FPS. I stream at 1080, 30, because I can't do 60 on my machine. It's not that beefy.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough bandwidth, just my machine's not beefy enough to do it. But it was because I was streaming it and then downstreaming it at native.
Oh,
so my computer was going, I couldn't quite do it. So, yeah, right. I mean, even in something stupid like I'm playing video games and commentating on them, is sometimes you just have this moment of existential self-doubt.
Yeah, and you just kind of put that aside and you remind yourself of all the shit that you have done right.
And it's like, oh, you know, I do have people to follow me, and I'm slowly getting a following, and... Yeah, I'm not terrible. I am chill, and I'm playing the games that I've been wanting to play and hopefully having people come chat with me and interact and watch me enjoy a game or get mad at a game. I don't tend to get mad at games, though, unless I'm having to deal with those shitters in Overwatch who can't fucking build a team. God, no, we don't need 3 Widowmakers on attack. Ah! Moving on. Finally,
I didn't know you could speak Klingon.
Finally, I owe Shiva a drink for 2 things. The first is providing a happy ending to a mystery that I stumbled into during the previously mentioned time vortex I find myself in. As I don't know all the details of that mystery, and it's quite frankly none of my damn business anyway, I'll gloss over it. What I truly owe Shiva for is this. I considered myself monogamous before I started dating, and to a certain extent I still do. This did nothing to prevent me from falling into a poly relationship with 2 other guys, who both fell for me. In an odd twist, both other parties are bi and to some extent poly, so they adapted to it a bit better than I did. The last 4 years hasn't been the smoothest road, and I now lay most of the issues at my own feet for being weirded out by my situation while simultaneously trying to learn what am love and how does I boyfriend 10 years later than most people learn them.
Mm-hmm.
Shiva and a few of my friends are also into poly, have been a big help in keeping me on an even keel while I navigate these strange to me waters. Things are going fairly well now, and my brain has recently decided that the best way to define my relationship is that I have my orca mate of 5 years and my tiger boyfriend of 4. Thank you, Shiva, for showing me that it's perfectly okay for me to be in a poly relationship.
Cool.
To summarize, I owe beverages to Savern for the smooth jazz let's plays, Fuzz for aiding in a dark time for the rebellion with the Roar 8 submission call, and to Shiva for constantly reassuring this mono that it's okay to be in a poly relationship. That's all I have for the moment. Thank you for the months of entertainment, help, and story writing. I look forward to many more. Signed, JD, your new Fox Dragon fan from Maryland. P.S. While I will continue to be a listener, I hope you don't mind that I'm going to be seeing other podcasts on the side, particularly Unsheath as I get into editor mode. It's your own fault for introducing us. There you go.
Cool.
Well, thank you for writing in. We're happy to help. It's always good and edifying, you know. And this also helps us with the imposter syndrome thing. It's like people writing in saying, yeah, you actually are helping, instead of us just
spitting out
dick jokes into the void, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, we've been at this for a long enough time. People still listen, yay, and people still come to our Telegram chats and all this other cool stuff, so it's neat.
Yeah, and that does help with the imposter syndrome, like you said.
At this point, we're going to stop and save because we're past an hour, and we'll be right back with more, because we have a few more Tumblr questions and a con report. Woo! BRB. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more, with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? That's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It can be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code KNOT. That's KNOT at AdamandEve.com. And we're back. And hey, guess what we found out about during the fucking break? Some motherfucker with a gun shooting up downtown Dallas. America! For fuck's sake, guys. Not helping.
Yeah, this is not helping at all.
God. It's just like, man, legitimate reasons to protest downtown, and, like, some fucker, either if it's someone there to cause shit, to shoot at the protesters, shoot up the cops, either way, you're not fucking helping, dude, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But, ugh. Just keeps happening. You know, what's the Onion article? We just don't know why it keeps happening, says the only nation where this regularly happens at.
Yeah, pretty much. Early reports are saying he has an AR-15, and apparently one DART officer and one Dallas PD officer have already been injured. Yeah. Nobody's been reported killed yet, at least.
And I'm wondering, at least he didn't, start mowing down the protesters.
Yeah, one of the other things I saw is apparently he waited for the protesters to pass and then started mowing down the cops. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I support, making changes in the system and not shooting black people for no fucking reason.
Seriously, need to rein in the police hard.
But mowing down a bunch of police officers is absolutely not the way to go. Yeah.
You don't thin the herd. It doesn't work that way.
No. Ugh. You're going to kill many good people that way. And
there's our downer moment. So it's like, hey, we're recording a happy, fun podcast, and then you look at the news, and it's like, Jesus Christ, the world is terrible.
Yeah, and, I was trying not to bring too much politics into this, but, the three shootings, I think it is, over the last two or three days.
Yeah.
They've just all been fucking awful. Where there's the guy in Louisiana that was selling CDs outside a store that he was allowed to sell at, and they just fucking shot him point blank range four times
while being recorded.
And then there's the other one in Minnesota, where they got pulled over for broken taillight, and
which is just shitty.
Shot the dude right in front of his girlfriend's little girl. And she is amazing.
Yeah, she had the fucking brains to be like, all right, I'm going to start streaming this shit to Tumblr.
I don't know how she sounded so fucking calm and collected.
Probably just in shock.
But
I bet she broke down fucking hardcore after that. But
she, it's like, I mean, and unfortunately, being African-American in this country, she was probably prepared. She just sort of knew that this was a possibility, that this might happen at some point. The third one, I know there was a third one, and I feel terrible because I don't remember the details.
I was only aware of the two, so.
Oh, well, the other one I found out was apparently this happened months ago, but remember, it was a year ago, I think. No, less than a year ago. There was a woman in Harris County Jail named Sandra Bland who died. Well, apparently another black woman died in the same jail.
Under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah. The coroner said it was lack of medical attention. I believe, if I recall the story correctly, she was in a traffic accident, and instead of being taken in for medical care, she was arrested and brought to the county jail, where she died.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Sugar happy cops and just people being shits. For fuck's sake.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say about that. I mean, it's just really fucked up. And I've seen a couple people tweet, and this is probably accurate, that shit's always been this bad. But we didn't have cell phones and GoPros before, and now we do. And now we're able to see this kind of thing happening.
The world's always been this horrible, but we can now all see it.
Well, and apparently, the U.S. is safer than ever. Crime has gone down steadily over the decades. The murder rate has gone down steadily over the decades. But it feels worse because you can actually see how fucked up things are.
Yeah.
And it's insane that African Americans are like 18% of the population, but have this, or but are like 30% of the number of people killed by police. And white people are a similar percentage killed by police, but we vastly outnumber African Americans and other minorities in this country. So it's a really outsized number of black people being killed. And you know,
and what's, you know, and these two most recent ones are just really fucked up. Like,
yeah,
there's no real reason for this to happen that way.
And you know, I mean, from what I understood, and I may have understood wrong, but when a suspect is fleeing from you on foot, you can't shoot them to stop them. You have to chase them or shoot them with a taser or something like that, or tackle them. But like that one case where like the dude was running away from the cop and the cop shot him like four times in the back,
yeah,
and then tried to plant a gun on him. That's no.
He would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been filmed by some dude going, holy shit, shit's going down, and pulling out his phone.
Yep, exactly. And I'm like, no, that's totally illegal.
You know, the ubiquity of, and like in the Baton Rouge situation, they took the place's surveillance camera footage, apparently. They didn't have their body cams on, but that gal that was recording it, you didn't get hers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
And the the woman that shot, saw her boyfriend shot right in front of her, I didn't know Facebook could do this, but apparently you can stream directly to Facebook.
And that's so the whole time she was
sitting, even if they had like taken her phone from her,
tough shit, it's
out
there.
Still on Facebook. So that's really the way you got to do it.
Yeah, and that's so fucked up that even is like, hey, you know, if you get fucking pulled over by a cop, regardless of race or gender, though, if you're a black male, you probably should do this. Start streaming to Facebook, because if they shoot your ass, someone's going to see it. It's not going to get swept under the rug. And that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, there was a fucking thing I saw, LeVar Burton. I think you retweeted
it. I retweeted it.
He takes off his hat, his sunglasses, puts his hand out the fucking window.
LeVar Burton is got to be, of any race, is one of the least threatening people I can imagine. You know, fucking Reading Rainbow, which I didn't grow up with.
Jordy LaForge.
But I grew up with fucking Jordy LaForge, and he is this nerdy, awkward with women, lovable engineer. You know, I fucking started watching Next Gen when I was 11. I grew up watching this man, and I was just like, and he feels that the cops see him as enough of a threat that he has to take off his hat and glasses and put his hands out the window to show that he's not armed if he's pulled over. I'm like, that's fucking wrong. I mean, on what planet does that make any kind of sense?
Yeah.
You know? It's just... And on the full video, if you watch the full video, they have... it's six people on the panel. One of them is a white author. And he shared one of his interactions with the police. And it was, he was in New Orleans, where he lived for about 10 years. And he had locked his keys in the car. So he was trying to break into his own car with a coat hanger to get to his keys, like you do. Uh-huh. I've heard of people doing that before. And the cop walked up to him, didn't ask him for any ID or any kind of proof that the car was his, and told him that he wasn't trying to get into the door the right way, and then showed him the right way to do it. If that was a black guy, shot fucking dead, guaranteed, you know? And when this author was relaying this story, LeVar Burton just fucking puts his hand, like, fucking full face palm, like...
Double face
palm. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah. And it was also during that ridiculous thing, it's like, N-word or cracker, which is worse? Like, which one don't you not print?
Yeah, which are you not saying
right now?
Which one
are you not allowed to put in text on television?
It's probably worse.
Yeah. Ah, God. It's sorry to bring it down, folks, but this is just kind of how shit goes.
Yeah, and I expect to get some hate over my comments.
Whatever,
and stuff.
Because
I occasionally get fucking people bitching at me, because I'll post pro-equality things to my Twitter. And I'm like, fuck you if you think I'm an SJW for thinking black people don't need to be mown down in the streets for being black. I mean, you know, we got ours. We've got a lot of our rights as queer people, you know. This is, unfortunately, the new civil rights frontier is back to African Americans who thought that, like, they got equality in the 60s with the passing of the Civil Rights Act. And it's like, no, we've just kind of been faking it and coasting on that for the last 50 years.
Can we afford them the right of not shooting them anytime they interact with the police? That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. How about you just,
could the cops just kind of stop shooting people as often? Just like, dial it back about 50 notches at this point.
They also don't need to be armed like a fucking convoy going into Baghdad. You know, you ever seen some of these photos of, like, this small town that got some government grant, some pork money from their local senator or something like that, and they have a fucking Humvee and these massive fucking APCs. Rifles and...
Well, a lot of that was basically post-Iraq war...
Surplus,
yeah. They're like, oh, it's going to get scrapped, or we can give it to our constituencies for pennies. And so these small towns got fucking body armor, ARs, and armored vehicles.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And that was stopped by Obama, if I recall correctly. But that doesn't mean that there's still not lots of that shit out there in the armories of the towns. It's just ridiculous. They're like, we've got this shit, might as well use it. Yeehaw!
Yeah.
You know, no, you don't need to drive your Humvee down to deal with Cletus. Maybe if you approached it.
Yeah. And I was actually really proud of Dallas months ago because we had an insane confluence of groups downtown. A few months ago, after Freddie Gray got killed in Baltimore, we had a protest march here.
Yeah.
So we had the Black Lives Matter group, but we also had Back the Blue, which is a pro-cop group, and we also had... an open carry group, a Texas open carry group, and they were all going to demonstrate in downtown Dallas at the same time. And I'm thinking, fucking recipe for disaster. Not a single shot fired, no loss of life.
Well, I mean,
nobody even got beat up.
Yeah, I mean,
and I was actually really proud of my city on that day. I was like, okay. These three disparate groups that I don't agree with everything the with all three of them, but they actually exercised their First Amendment rights in a peaceful manner, you know?
Which should be the goal.
They were actually even talking to each other at some points, which, I mean, dialogue is good.
Yeah.
You know? And now this happens, and this is just really discouraging.
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter who... I mean, if it's... I mean, this is going to be used as narrative fodder for months for anybody that's trying to make a narrative out of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go, you're going to have people saying this is just, you know, oh, this is why the cops need to be so vigilant because these people are animals. And you have, you know, people, oh, this is a false flag attack. Oh, you have people that are like, oh, this is, you know, the cops trying to set us up. And, you know, it's going to be conspiracy theories all around. And... the only thing is it's going to reduce the amount of potential dialogue, and that's the best outcome.
You know,
the worst case outcome is that this shit starts happening more frequently, and then, you know, people targeting the cops, and then it only gets more dangerous for everybody involved.
And that's the thing, is that a lot of people like to think that, like, people that are pro Black Lives Matter or pro not killing people for no fucking reason think that, oh, you much really like it when a cop gets killed. It's like, no, I don't.
I don't want anybody to get killed.
I don't want anybody getting killed. And that goes without saying that a cop getting killed is a bad thing. But nobody is acknowledging that when a random innocent is killed is a bad thing.
Well, like,
and that's the problem.
The dude that got shot in the arm and bled out in his fucking car was a cafeteria volunteer at a school.
Yeah.
And there was, you were tweeted, it was like, yeah, this guy, my kids knew him. He was always really nice to him.
Yeah. And
it's like, and now the guy, this cafeteria guy that these kids all saw.
And the okay, here's the
fucking killed.
Let's go super political again. Sorry. Rest of the show derailed. The fucked up thing, the guy had a gun and he had a concealed carry license. And when the cop asked him for his wallet, before he reached for it, he told him that I'm carrying a gun and I have a license for it, which is what you're supposed to do. You were supposed to be up front when dealing with a police officer that you have a gun and you're licensed and it's legal. And so that they know, you know, now I'm going to reach for my wallet. And he, after he said that, he went to reach for his wallet and the guy fucking shot him. Yeah. And you know who never has a statement about this is the fucking NRA. You know, when 49 people and 53 wounded in Orlando by an AR-15.
I thought it was 52 at this point.
Did one survive?
52 people died.
Oh, it's gone up.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Obviously, the Pulse shooting, and then, you know, all these fucking anti-gun control people come out of the woodwork talking about how, no, gun rights, gun rights, gun rights. They're not fucking saying anything for this guy's gun rights. You know, he was an American citizen with no criminal record and a legal right to carry a gun, and the cops shot him. And, you know, where are all these people talking about his Second Amendment right now? You know, and it's just, yeah, sorry, carrying a gun is a white privilege. If you're black with a gun, licensed or not, cop gonna shoot you.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the NRA does not have the courage of their convictions. And it's funny that, like, something like 78% of NRA members actually support shit like universal background checks and closing the gun loophole, but the NRA knows that that would affect their bottom line, so they fucking fight to not change a damn thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck it all. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Let's hope that shit ends up being taken care of downtown, and hopefully, you know, nobody fucking dies.
So, well, it's
so support us on Patreon. I don't know.
I don't know, man. yeah, you could support us on Patreon. I mean, you get to hear us be pinky commie liberals, I guess.
Yeah.
We run on the platform of, hey, Kit, quit killing people, you fucking twats.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's an important platform for us.
It is, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's pretty universal.
Anybody, quit killing each other, please.
Oh, it drives me crazy when people are like, well, they had a criminal record. He was doing something that was breaking the law. And it's like, the guy that was selling cigarettes outside his store. And they're like, no, that's against the law. It's like, I'm sorry. When you that law does not carry the death penalty for breaking it. Even shit that does carry the death penalty does, like raping and killing children, does not actually equal cop goes up to you in the street and executes you. It means 25 years on death row while it gets appealed forever.
Yeah.
There is no law you can break where it's acceptable to just go up and kill somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, having an active shootout with the police.
Like, if you shoot at a cop, that's suicide by cop. I mean, that's just fucking how it is. But if you're some motherfucker
selling
cigarettes without a tax stamp.
The other thing I read about, which I don't know all the details on this, so it's going to be kind of sketchy. But
next week's emails are going to be a fucking joy.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be wonderful. But apparently the KKK had demonstrated and passed out flyers in some area of the country, and then like 2 days later a black man was found hanging in a tree there, and the cops ruled it suicide.
I saw that,
even though there was no ladder, no note.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody reply, it was like, a black man wouldn't kill himself like that, he'd just have a broken taillight or sell some CDs if he wanted to kill himself.
The blackest of humor.
Yeah, really. And apparently, black people have a lower percentage rate of suicide than white people do.
But yeah, I do recall like a thing on the the quote suicide. It was something hanging. There was a hashtag on it because, of course, there's always a hashtag. It was like, I saw someone tweet about that. He's like, I hadn't. Someone was like, I hadn't heard about that. And I'm like, I had not heard about that either. And then like reading the article about it and going, holy fuck, this was bungled in so many different ways.
Yeah,
I think, you know, going back to what we were just like the, you know, listening to the JonBenet Ramsey episode.
Uh-huh.
And how badly that was fucked up.
Yep.
Similar levels of police fuck-uppery. Like, holy fuck. All right, so let's... We have three Tumblr questions and a con report, and then let's get out of here before our inbox catches fire.
Yeah, let's go ahead and clear the inbox so that people can write us with their rage next week.
Yep.
Okay, so...
You know, I mean, we try not to be ultra-political on this, but it just keeps fucking happening, guys.
You know, people know that we're fucking libfags on this show. You know, I... Fucking socialism woo.
Yeah. Give me my universal health care, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. You look at Canada, and it is such a breath of fresh air. You know, you see Justin Trudeau out there fucking kissing gay babies and... Whatever. He was marching in a pride parade. Yeah, and
like, is the baby gay or is the child a spawn of two gays? How does that work? Are they magical lesbian children just like in ponies?
It's the same way that Judy and Nick can have a child together.
Magic of animation.
But it was like Trudeau in the gay pride parade. Trudeau doing like those push-ups on a table where his whole body is off the ground just because he's just so badass, you know, and Trudeau fighting against or welcoming Syrian refugees to the country and fighting against trans unfriendly bills. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Canada really does seem to have their shit together a lot better than we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Canada's like, are you guys okay down there?
It's like, I think we might need to build a wall, eh?
No kidding. Right. Oh, can America just become the next province of Canada and they come in and, like, clear up all our shit? Anonymous asked a question. Is Anthrocon intimidating? It seems like it would be. I don't mean the staff or any particular people involved in running the convention. I just mean how many people are there. It seems like it would be really loud and crowded, so you wouldn't be able to actually just sit down and hang out with friends unless you hid away in your room. Am I wrong, and there's actually enough space to let people chill out when they need a break? Or is it not a con for people who need space and quiet now and then? Excuse me.
I used to find Anthrocon actually really intimidating. Mm-hmm. It was my first furry con back in 2004.
Yeah.
And that was back when it was only 4,000 or so. But that was still up to the point, I think, the biggest con I'd been to. And then I went to Acon, which at that point was like 12,000 or so.
Yeah.
And I would go to Acon for like a day or two at a given year, but I never like went for the weekend and stayed. So Anthrocon can be a bit intimidating if you're not used to larger cons like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now Anthrocon takes place in such a large space, it doesn't really feel that crowded.
Yeah.
And this is me, like, the last time I went was, like, 3 years ago when they were only at, like, 6,000 or something like that.
Right.
And since then, I have attended both, well, I've been continuing to attend Acon, which is now up to 32,000 attendees.
Fuck.
I attended PAX South 1, which is 40, and PAX South 2, which apparently was 60,000. People.
Mm.
And let me tell you, at this point, Anthrocon is small potatoes. Now, it is all relative, and larger cons do have, like, quiet chill-out rooms. PAX South specifically has the, like, Take This AFK Lounge, which is actually really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quiet space, no electronics allowed. They have water and dim lights and beanbag chairs, and you can just sit and be quiet and chill out and escape from the crowds. It's actually really nice.
Yeah.
But I think Anthrocon, like, this year they had the zoo in one of the...
It's in one of the downstairs halls.
Instead of being in the West End.
Right. Which was... It might have been a little quieter. I don't know. I didn't go
it
in there.
It was certainly a lot bigger.
Like, yeah.
There was a lot more seating. And I saw people tweet from there, like, God, like, nobody's here because it's not in the West End anymore. Because it used to be in the West End on, like, the third floor or whatever. You had to go up a couple escalators.
Yeah.
And that room would get super packed.
Yeah.
Because it was one of their big-ass ballrooms, but it was still really packed and always, like, I would go there maybe once or twice, see what was on the flyer tables, pick up any freebies, and jet. But then again, I'm also of the I hang out with the people I know and I'm not the best socialized puppy, I suppose. So it's like I don't just walk up to people I don't know for the most part. So people occasionally walk up to me.
I don't like people that do that to me anyway.
Or the people that walk up to me are like, oh, I'm a big fan. And I'm like, oh my God, who are you? Oh, hi.
Get away, sinner.
Oh, you listen to thing I do. Oh, cool, great, thumbs up. Scurry away. So, yeah, it's... I think at this point that it is a place that will allow you guys to...
There's enough little nooks and crannies and unused space in that convention center still that you'd be able to find some space. Not saying, I mean, it might still be intimidating. I know...
If you're going first time and you don't have friends to go with, it will be hella intimidating.
Yeah, I would definitely make plans with friends to stick by and hang out with. Maybe a group of first-timers could go together or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I usually recommend that people not make it their first con, that you might want to start smaller just to see how you do in a convention atmosphere. And if you do okay, yay, then kind of work your way up to AnthroCon. Although I did have a friend who I always thought might be kind of skittish and a bit of a loner, and AC was his first con, and he did fine. You know,
I mean, it really matters. But yeah, I've definitely I've gotten more accustomed to larger crowds as of the last little while.
Yeah.
But
you know, this show has helped a lot with my public speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as doing panels now, I don't have nerves like I did before.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for you, you know, having to get on stage with Bob and be the guy at Nightmare Nights has probably helped you out.
Or running panels at conventions, at horse conventions, and doing the audiobook stuff, putting that out there, and just having to be a public face in a lot of ways. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you covered that pretty well.
Yeah.
You want to read the next one?
All right, so, hey, non-crew, long-time listener, I have a question about breakups. I just broke up with a long-time LDR, not for the first time, true, but this feels more final. I still love the heck out of my ex, painful to call him that, and I'm just not sure what to do. Should I try to get back together and fix things? Should I move on? I still pine for him, and every damn thing reminds me of him and his smile, but it's too clingy to try to get... But is it too clingy to try to get him back again? Please advise, a snowmew from Vermont, Max.
So this is difficult because we're missing some information about, you know, how long you were together in the context of the breakup. You know, if you're constantly breaking up, maybe it's something minor. Maybe you will get back together. If you're always the one to initiate getting back together, maybe sit this one out. Maybe see if it goes the other direction, you know? I don't think it's necessarily too clingy, but, I mean, it might be time to move on.
Yeah.
You know? I know, and I don't know how bad it was, so I can't say if it's time to move on, but, I mean, I'm thinking maybe sit this round out and see if he comes back.
Being clingy and pining for someone is very common after a breakup, and like Fuzz says, it's probably a good idea to see how things go. Because this is, like, the second time you've broken up with someone, this isn't like, you know, oh, the third time you break up, it's final and you're doomed and you're drowning. But, you know, it might be a good time to evaluate why. Like, what brought this on? Why did they break up? It's not 100% your fault. It's not 100% his. But you should probably sit back and evaluate why you split up. And if it is because distance is a thing, getting back together with someone who's a LDR after breaking up because of long-distance reasons isn't going to help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that both of you should find someone local to you. And that may be very difficult to not possible in a lot of cases. But, you know, if consider that if an LDR is the biggest issue, then pursuing an LDR is not going to help you.
Yeah.
But that's just my two cents. We don't have the information as to why, you know, basically what's the story here. But, you know, sometimes you just need to cool down and see how things play out before you make a decision, because you're probably right now on an emotional trip and need to get your head back on straight, mm-hmm. metaphorically, before you make any concrete actions towards trying to reestablish a relationship with someone who you split up with apparently twice now.
Yeah.
There we
go. Okay, next one. Tumblr, dear Notcast, hi, how have you guys been? Just ready to tell you guys some stuff and ask a question. Fellas, hopefully your trip to Anthrocon was pleasant and very successful. Also, last episode, you mentioned the opening of Last podcast on the left about the cannibalism starting. That's actually an interview with Jeffrey Dahmer. Saverin, have you heard Dan Bull's newest track about Overwatch? It's pretty fucking dope. Shiva, how's the kittens doing? Hopefully not driving you up the wall. FPS Junkie 2020, hail Satan.
Hail Satan!
And that's when the cannibalism started.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually... I haven't gotten to Jeffrey Dahmer yet. When did they do him? I'm going to have to go down their feed and...
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay, Jeffrey... Almost to Dahmer. Dahmer is in episode 122. It's a three-part episode. Three-part series on him. That's 3 hours and 16 minutes on human cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm excited.
Mm-mm.
Ooh, and then before that, it's a satanic government cover-up. Or the Satanic Government Part 3, 2 and 1. Great. I'm excited. There's so many good episodes that I just... only so much time in the day to learn about weird things like the Dyatov Pass incident and serial killers of the UK and Jeffrey Dahmer. And I've not heard Dan Bull's newest track about Overwatch. I have heard of it. I have not heard it. I have actually not... gone terribly out of my way to find fan stuff around Overwatch. Like, I see tons of it, basically because I have a couple friends on my Tumblr who just reblog funny stuff constantly. But I've not, like, sought out remixes of the music, really. Though the music is really good, and I actually did purchase and download the official soundtrack, and I listened to it while working on it. It works out really well. Get you going quick. And I don't know how the kittens are doing, but they're apparently chilling out. According to the kitten pics that Shiva has posted to Twitter, she's not here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, there is that. And the last thing is a AC Con report. So we will put this out there, and then we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
And then go home, and I will get to editing this.
Okay.
It's 10:31. I'm going to start my stream late if I get to do it tonight or not.
AC 2016 Con Report.
Yep.
Greetings, casters. Hopefully I get this to you in time because I wanted to give a quick report on AC 2016. I'll try to keep it short and refrain from the stream of consciousness that would bore people. And I just scrapped three paragraphs of just that. Yay. It was great seeing Fuzz, Tyrion, and the rest of the For Planet crew in and out of the dealer's room. I even picked up a signed volume of Bill Holbrook's On the Fast Track as a gift for my mom. I managed to catch two of Pepper and Fox and Moore's three shows that were scheduled for the weekend, and they were fantastic. The first show, they performed the entirety of their new collab album, Hashtag. The second, a medley of older material for both of them, including the famous, or is that infamous, No Cock Like Horsecock. Pepper's parents were at AC, and they were at that show. Suffice it to say, they were pretty cool about it. I actually had the pleasure of meeting them when I met up with Pepper for dinner at Proper a few blocks from the con, and we had a lovely dinner before that show. I also got to meet someone whose work I've known since I got into fandom in 99, Frederick Fox.
Name's familiar.
He originally did the Here's the Guide to Drawing Yiffy Art.
Oh, okay.
and a bunch of other stuff.
Early Flash animation stuff.
Yeah. Now he's doing more advanced Flash animation stuff. This was drunk at about 5 a.m. Saturday night, but it still counts. He's been working on a new series of Star Fox parody videos on YouTube. Just look up A Fox in Space, which I had seen that a few months back when it came out. The writing track was well run, and while I may have lost some energy in the downtime, I've definitely been inspired to write more. I was even the audience for a recording of some other podcast that Fuzz totally wasn't on. Spoiler, I was. That's that's about all for now, and I hope I wasn't too disjointed for y'all to follow along. Keep casting those knots into our ear holes, Matt Fox.
Great. I'm Yay. Glad that you're, that went well.
Yep. Thank you for writing in, Matt. And yeah, I got to see Matt and his mate a couple times over the weekend. So yeah, overall, a good con. And I guess we'll wrap that up now. Our Tumblr is notcast.tumblr.com, which is also our website, notcast.com. You can go there to send in comments that way, or you can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. Follow us on Twitter at Notcast. We don't really update FA, but we have an FA at Notcast also. If you enjoy our show and want to say thanks for the entertainment, go to our Patreon, which is just patreon.com/Notcast, and sign up there. It charges per episode.
Yep.
And that is about it. You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf if you want to hear my ramblings. Or for just the publishing-related stuff, follow For Planet.
For me, you can follow me at Savrin Drake on Twitter, at just slash Savrin, so just Savrin on Twitch. And you can go to justafox.com for my YouTube stuff.
Woot.
Like and subscribe and all that fun stuff. I also stream on a regular basis, so you can chill with me and listen to me ramble on about video games and occasionally listen to synthwave music and play video games. Cool. Come chat and say hi. I always enjoy when people come in and chat with me, because otherwise it's boring. Well, I mean, it's playing video games, but playing video games with people that are interacting with you, that's always fun. So, on that note...
Good night and...
Big balls.
More pussy.